Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from Geek Camp here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, we realize that lots of money is being spent sending kids to things like basketball camp, computer camp.
There's a camp for everything, it seems, you know?
But we noticed that there was not one camp that offered kids the opportunity to learn how to become a geek.
An authentic, real, down-to-earth geek.
So far be it from us to miss an opportunity. So we saw a niche here.
It's called niche marketing. That's us, man. Yeah.
So we've set up this unique summer program. We have a one-week camp called Geek Week. We have the two-week Advanced Geek Workshop.
Yeah.
And the three-week Ultra Geek Certification Program. You know, you'll get a diploma and all that. And we'll teach things like, you know, the folklore of the ancient geeks, geek mythology, all those things that
Well, we should
kids
point out that this whole program was designed and is personally overseen by our producer, Doug Geek Berman, who is a
Oh, I thought it was Doug Geek.
Doug Geek, not Doug Geek. Doug Geek.
Oh,
the Geek. It's all one word.
See, when you slur your speech the way you do,
that's
I always
right.
thought
People
it was Doug
People think Dougie. His name is Dougie. They're just
Doug
dropping.
Geek.
You
Doug
can't
Geek.
Lose that last letter. There's a C at the end there.
Well, under Doug's fine tutelage.
Able supervision.
Your kids will learn things like.
Yeah.
Number one, how to buy pants that are 3 inches too short. I mean, you can't be a real geek if you have pants that are the right length.
No, they certainly should never. They should never be all the way down to your shoes.
And they'll learn, like, the fundamentals of platform shoes, the soul of a real geek.
Right? Yeah, things like how many pocket protectors is not enough.
And my personal favorite, 15 minutes a day to a thinner, more pencil-like neck.
I mean, a lot of the skills that we take for granted, I mean, they're not being passed along in an organized way to our offspring. They're not learning the basics.
Well, you know why? Because we just assume that they're going to pick it up by example. You know, they're...
Yeah, but you can't count on that.
No, I mean, look at our kids. They're almost normal. Well, not Alex. Anyway, that's why we've started our summer geek camp for ages 8 through 14 and up.
8? You think you can wait until age 8?
Oh, yeah. I don't think a kid has the tools necessary.
Geekness, I have to reach, age 7 is the age of reason. Age 8 is the age of geek.
Age of geek.
So you can begin all these lessons from age 8. And if you haven't really firmed up all of these techniques by age 14, we don't want you.
Right. And we need just to grasp, you know, some of the subtleties, like, you know, the smaller the key ring, the smaller the brain. I mean, these things aren't obvious. You know, we need to.
We could use advice.
We need help.
We have not solidified, cementized, as they say, the curriculum. So if you have any ideas on the kinds of things that you would like to see instilled in your children, you can send them to us at Geek Week, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square. That's the one with the R's in it. Mm-hmm. Harvard Square. Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02238.
Now, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Shelley. I'm calling from Pemberville, Ohio.
Is that with an E-Y or a Y?
The Pemberville or the Shelley?
Shelley.
Either.
Just with a Y.
Just Shelly.
Right. I have a Subaru Justy, and every time I go around the corner, it sounds like there's a small animal being crushed.
Oh yeah, you
there
get
isn't.
That.
I've checked.
That crunching of bones sound.
No, it goes.
Oh, that.
Oh, I like that. Do that again.
Yeah. Now, that happens as you're turning the wheel or once the wheel is turned to the full left or right position?
As I'm turning it. Like, if I were to just wiggle it, it would go...
Yeah.
Oh, in other words, even if you were sitting still.
See, right. This is a Subaru, huh?
Right, and I'm in American car country here, so I brought it in, and they tried squirting some silicone into the top part of it, and it didn't do anything.
Into the top part. You hear the noise coming right from the steering wheel,
yeah,
hey?
Yeah, it sounds like it. And then they tried putting that... silicone down by the floorboards where it goes into the floorboards.
Well, yeah, that's not where
the
it
noise
is.
That you're really hearing is when you turn the wheel like that, you're probably putting a lot of pressure on the cage that the gerbils are in. How many gerbil power is this, Justy?
I think the Justy is a 12 gerbil power.
Yeah, you may
and
have
so
bumped...
actually, when you turn, I think it's the G-forces.
Have you you may have bumped off two or three little buggers. You may be down to eight or nine gerbils. You notice the loss in power?
If it's any consolation to you, Shelley, my wife's Volvo, I thought this was a peculiar Volvo problem. A problem peculiar to Volvos, rather.
Uh-huh. And well, maybe my Subaru has an attitude. Or
it could be. It could be. And my wife's car has been doing this for, I don't know, 2-3 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I've looked at it many times.
Oh.
Just looked. He hasn't fixed. He's just looked.
I banged it a couple of times, and I, you know.
Like you do with the TV when you can't get Channel 5, right?
Yeah. And what it is, I mean, it's up there at the top.
Okay.
It's the steering wheel rubbing against the steering column.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it worse in cold weather?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Because things shrink when they get cold. Now, I don't know what bearing that has on this particular problem. But if you were to get someone to take off the steering wheel and maybe take that collar off. Because
okay.
I can tell this is driving you nuts. You've gone to giddiness.
Yeah.
And if they can take off that collar that's right underneath the wheel
okay. And
perhaps see where the wheel is hitting it, they might be able to shave it down. It's only plastic.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
and you can't see it anyway. So if they had to sort of slice off an eighth of an inch.
Or leave it off. I mean, take it right off. Let all the wires hang out. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah. It isn't anything.
I mean, no one will know the difference because there are no other Justies in your area. They'll think they all look like that.
Right.
Yeah, but don't let it alarm you. I'm sure there's nothing wrong. But spraying stuff in there, at best, will only work temporarily, if at all.
Yeah, it worked temporarily.
Yeah.
Long enough for me to get out of the parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll work for a couple
those
of minutes, and as soon as you rub off the silicone, it's back to where it was
right before. Those are the kinds of fixes that we specialize in.
Yeah, we call them 50-50 guarantee. 50 feet or 50 seconds, whichever comes first.
But have your mechanic take off the steering wheel and maybe just leave it off and the noise will be gone. Good luck, Shelley.
Yeah, you can put in a little joystick in there.
See you later. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris from Hamilton, New Jersey.
Chris,
Hamilton, New Jersey.
What's going on?
Yeah, I have an Eagle Summit Wagon, 1994.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while when I'm driving, usually when I'm turning, but sometimes when I'm backing up, I hear this noise out of the back end. It sounds something like a very heavy spring springing or one piece of metal hitting another hollow piece of metal. And I took it to the local mechanic, and he said he couldn't find anything.
And it happens when?
Sometimes when I'm backing up, and usually if I'm going forward and turning, it will happen, just like once. Bong!
Mm.
And it sounds like it's coming from maybe the right back, but somewhere in the back end.
Does it happen more if you happen to be parked on a hill?
Well, my driveway is on a hill, and sometimes it happens coming out of the driveway, backing out of the driveway.
Okay.
Has
it ever happened backing into a parking space?
No. I don't back into parking spaces generally.
So you don't? So the only time you back up is coming
New
out
Jersey,
of
New Jersey, I just plow right in. Back into it.
Yeah, you just pull in, and you leave the back end sticking out in the street.
They call that the Hoboken method.
The Hoboken technique. I like it.
Hmm. Have you ever worked for the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
Wow.
Well, I think it's coming from the rear suspension. It's coming from one of the springs.
I like the spring theory.
And if you think about it for a minute, I bet you'll say, it does sound like a spring that is getting tweaked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's happening is the spring sits on a rubber cushion top and bottom.
Right.
And it may be that at times, considering there are certain dynamics involved in backing up that you don't have in going forward, that may also take place when you're turning, that spring is getting rotated a little bit, just enough to make it turn and then go plung, plung, and that's the noise you're getting.
Okay. I looked at it, and it looked sitting in solid, but maybe you can't see it.
Well, you could also have a broken spring, too, and broken springs are hard to detect. Sometimes the last half of a coil will break off a spring, and you can't notice it, and it'll also make that kind of noise.
But you can detect it if you jack the thing up the right way.
And pieces start falling out.
Yeah. But I mean, you said you took it somewhere, and he couldn't find anything wrong.
Yeah, I took it to a local mechanic, and he just said he looked at the back end and didn't find anything.
No, I would take it back to this fellow, ask him to put it up again, and ask him to carefully look at the springs to see if you have a broken spring.
Okay.
And if you don't, ask him to lube the spring cushions with a silicone lubricant and to look and see where the springs sit, if there's anything wrong with those cushions.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything's going to fall off.
All right. My wife will be happy to hear that.
But make sure you wear the seatbelt just in case.
And the football helmet.
Yeah. Oh, and that too, yeah.
Did we mention that?
See you, Chris.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Wouldn't you like to have a car that only made one noise?
What are you worried about?
I mean, when I drive down the street, I mean, I can't count the number of strange noises that I'm hearing.
See,
if you only had boom.
Yeah, boom.
What was that?
Beep,
you'd forget about it.
Well, recently I had to take my Colt Vista to pick up some bark mulch and other things.
Yeah.
Other things for the garden. And
perfect
of course,
vehicle for
I
that.
Loaded it to the hilt. I piled stuff on the roof rack.
Sure.
Been making some awful noises ever since. I think I broke the two rear springs, but I haven't had the courage to look.
Don't.
No. I mean, why bother, right?
No, does it go?
No, not really.
That's good enough.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hey, whoa, you almost woke us up. Who is this?
This is Jackie from Alaska.
Jackie. Oh, no wonder you were yelling. You're so far away.
Oh, I know it.
Are you from the bottom end or the top end?
I'm kind of from the middle in the bush.
The middle end? Where?
Glen Allen.
Don't know where it
Glen
is.
Glen Allen. I drink their wine all the time.
So does everyone else.
So what's up, Jackie?
Well, I have a problem that your answer will save my relationship and my health.
Cool.
We have a Toyota pickup.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend has this habit that he won't start the car. He has to roll it down a hill and pop the clutch every time. For what reason, I don't know.
I know why.
Chiropractic bills are skyrocketing. I've pleaded with him for my health purposes, and that doesn't seem to help. So if there's maybe something mechanical I can...
Do you live on a hill?
Yes, we do, and our work's on a hill, and everything's on a hill.
Everything's on a hill, so he always parks it so it's pointing down the hill.
Yes.
And he pops the clutch to start it. That's great.
He backs into the parking spot so he can roll down the hill.
Well, he is saving the starter.
That's why he's doing it.
And on the other hand, I mean, there may be a day you call upon the starter, and because of such lengthy periods of inactivity, it may forget its role. It may not be able to start the truck.
See,
there's not any real damage that's being done to my clutch.
No, he's not doing any. He is not doing any damage. Because, I mean, you're going to have to engage the clutch anyway when you drive. And he's, in fact, doing just exactly what he would do after he started the truck. So he's not damaging anything. In fact, he is saving the valuable pieces of the starter. Because he is the biggest cheapskate in the entire world.
No, he's doing it because it's cool.
No, you know what? He gets this glazed look that comes over his eyes, you know? And he just kind of looks at me sideways. And I think part of it's because he knows it bugs me so much when he does it.
That's
well, what if you were to start doing it?
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't know.
Do you drive?
Well,
you want to
right
learn?
Right now I have a broken hand, so so I have a hard time driving.
Ah.
Okay, so could now you give me an answer, and then I could cut off first part of your answer.
Oh, I see.
That would get
well, it's terrible to do this. He's burning up the clutch. He's wrecking the transmission. He's going to ruin the engine. Is that what you want to hear?
I knew it. It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue as well.
Yeah.
Right. And he deserves a dope slap.
Yeah.
I'm just the person to give it.
So you can just you can just
give
buy
it to
this
him with the hand that's broken, so that it's got the cast on it, and boom.
That's right.
You'll knock him all the way to. What name a city?
Anchorage.
Nome. Nome.
I thought it was Gnome.
Gnome. Tell me one thing, Jackie.
Yes.
We've had a number of calls from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a call about my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. Is anybody married in Alaska?
I think there's a couple of people that are married.
Jeez, we never hear from them. We always hear from people who are talking about boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, you got to figure the people that would go to Alaska have to be free spirits to begin with. I mean,
That's right.
You wouldn't go to Alaska.
Living on the edge.
And so
free spirits have trouble with personal relationships?
Exactly. Commitment.
I don't have a problem with commitment. Now, see, that's a whole other subject. You're just so, I can't even get into that subject. About
so if
marriage.
He asked you to marry him, you would consider it.
I would, yes, I would.
You'd lunge at it.
I might, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See?
But you know what? My life is good. I'm happy.
Yeah, we don't want to bring up any sore subjects, and I'm sorry I brought it up, but I'm not really.
I know, you guys.
And I'm always seeking the truth. I'm a seeker of truth, you know? That's my job in life.
And that and Cuban cigars.
And a good scotch.
Yeah. Well, Jackie.
We hate to disappoint you, but he really isn't doing anything too detrimental or even at all detrimental to the truck.
No.
So, but if you want to take that previous statements, those previous statements that we made and excerpt those and just play him the tape, you can probably get him to stop doing it.
All right, guys. Well, thanks.
See you later. Good luck, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, time for me to ask if you remember last week's puzzler.
No, I'm sorry. It seems to have slipped my mind.
Your mind's like wet tile. Everything slips right off of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, remind me. I mean, I don't remember. Remind me.
Well, last week's puzzle was from my high cholesterol series, and it was about the cost of omelets.
The cost of omelets? Breakfast special or a la carte?
You'll see. Stay tuned, and I'll have the whole story.
And we'll have more of your car questions in just a minute.
He walked out of his office one day, put on his cap, parked it just the right way, told his secretary he was going downtown, gonna take a little spin around. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He turned himself into a big four-door. His kids were crawling up on his back. He turned himself into a black bunny. I said, hey! I said, hey!
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, imagine working around that all day, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments. Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Capitalism touches every part of our lives.
Capitalism is a giant force that I don't understand.
I feel that it's a very safe system.
I'm constantly in fear of losing my job.
It is our biggest success and our biggest failure.
On this special series from Throughline, Capitalism.
Listen now to the Throughline podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this puzzler was designed for kids who are out of school and who need something to keep their minds from shriveling up during the summer. So solving this should be within the reach of almost anybody. Even my brother. Even Berman didn't have to struggle with it. It came in from someone named Lou Gottlieb, and here it is. Everyone knows what an omelet is, right? You scramble the eggs in a bowl, and you pour them into a frying pan, and then you put stuff in one side and fold the egg over itself so the stuff is inside, right?
Yeah, I got that. Even I can do that.
Flipping, it's the hard part. Well, I was at a restaurant the other day, and there was a menu that said all of our omelets are made with three eggs.
Uh-huh.
And the first omelet offered was a cheese omelet listed at $7.45. Next, there was a bacon omelet at $7.70, and then a bacon and cheese omelet at $8.45.
Mm.
The question is, what's a plain omelet cost? Just the eggs, no bacon, no cheese, no nothing. Just the eggs and,
$3.
Yeah, well, I guess not everyone got it. Well, you could write an equation, say X equals the eggs, and X plus B plus C equals 845, blah, blah, blah. But just think about it for a second. If the cheese...
Oh, That was the missing piece. Think about it.
If the cheese omelet is $7.45 and the bacon in cheese omelet is $8.45, then the bacon must cost a dollar, right?
Yeah.
The addition of bacon. So now let's go and look at what the bacon omelet was. Well, that's $7.70. So if the
minus
bacon is
a buck,
how was the egg?
$6.70.
There you go.
See, if I had thought of it for a minute.
See, that's why most of your answers are unencumbered by the thought process. That's where you get yourself in trouble. Do we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner this week is Gerald Pinzino from Homewood, Illinois, and for having his answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got, Gerald is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our 4-CD set, Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
And there are quite a few callers on this collection that more than qualify for that tag. But it's, you know, it's hard to forget Christy, who years earlier, when she was in college, had borrowed her father's car to drive to a party some 5 hours away, and she melted the engine.
She ran it out of coolant or something, right?
Exactly. Then she gave it back to her father and didn't say anything. And she remained silent a few days later when her father was told he needed a brand new engine. Now, we knew that wasn't good. And she called us because she wanted to know if she should confess to her father after all these years.
And we called him ourselves and ratted her out, the little brat.
Yeah, and it's all here on this collection, Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
Congratulations for being this week's winner, Gerald.
If you have a car question, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Yeah, and it's really nice to be talking to you guys. You certainly are cheerful.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Where are you from?
From Sierra Madre in California. Okay. And you're definitely from New Jersey or someplace.
Yeah,
we're from New Jersey.
Yeah, we're in the witness protection program. We're trying to disguise our voices. No, the Sierra Madre was near.
Ever learn to laugh?
Where?
Where?
Or when? When will we learn?
Wow, that's great.
No, we laugh at everything.
I think that's wonderful.
You know, well, we're idiots.
We need more idiots in this world. Sure.
So what's on your mind, Victoria?
Well, I want to save money. I have a 1988 Ford Tempo. For a couple of months, it's been making this big noise like a refrigerator or a B-52 bomber type of thing,
yeah.
But it's a little bit higher pitch than one of those big airplanes, you know, like that. But it's still a low pitch. And I was noticing even today that I can still hear the regular motor, but I can hear this too.
This other motor.
Yeah. Do you have to be in motion to hear this other noise?
Yeah. Yes, I do. And when I put on more gas, I hear it gets louder.
But if you're sitting in your drive, if you start it up in some time and you just sit there and rev the engine, do you hear this noise?
Yeah, because the fact that every time the gas goes in greater, it's bigger.
So you don't have to be moving to get it. You just have to rev.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure now. Yeah, I think it makes the sound, too, right away. It does. Yeah, and it's on the driver's side, so not on the passenger side, because I just recently went to San Jose from here, which is 350 miles, and up the Grapevine and everything. And when I was on the passenger side, so my friend was driving partially on that. I could hear that the sound wasn't so great on the passenger side.
Okay.
On the driver's side, it's greater. So that's
okay.
Where it's coming from.
Well, maybe your right ear is not as good as your left ear.
Right.
Maybe.
I mean, it could be something simple like the exhaust system.
I don't think so.
Could it be? Uh-huh.
Well, it could be. It could
now,
be.
Now, if it is, how much is, what can they charge me? I mean,
well, depends on if they've done financial research on you.
It's no matter what it is, it's going to cost you a couple hundred bucks if that's what it is.
If it's the exhaust system.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to cost you at least a couple of hundred bucks.
If it's anything having to do with the exhaust system, anything,
it's
at least a couple of hundred bucks.
Answer one other question. If you are going at high speed and you take your foot off the gas to coast, is the noise still as loud?
No, it isn't.
So it is associated with stepping on the gas.
It sure is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I have to agree with my brother. I thought initially that you might have a bad wheel bearing when you said especially that it's louder on one side of the car than another. But I'm convinced now that you have one bad ear.
But I mean, it's a howling noise, like.
Yeah, it's like that. That's the sound.
Yeah. So you haven't been curious enough to take it someplace?
Not for a couple of months, she hasn't.
I've been waiting for you guys.
Oh, you have.
But more importantly than that, has it gotten worse in the last few months?
Oh no, it's the same. Well, sometimes it seems like it's.
Yeah, sounds like you got a big hole in the muffler.
Yeah, and it's hard. You're hard pressed for it to get any worse because
the hole's so big already.
Does it mean that fumes are coming out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, I better get that fixed right away.
Yeah, have you noticed that your speech has been slurred?
Do you get dizzy a lot?
Right, have you been tempted to do anything stupid like call car talk?
Have you had loss of memory?
do
you laugh a lot?
I like to laugh a lot like that. That's fantastic. TV or something like
that. I think you do have a big hole in the muffler. Take it to one of those places like Midas or whatever and...
Okay, and you think that's the best kind of place?
Oh, sure.
No, but it's good enough.
It's good enough.
It's only a tempo.
Yeah, it's just a tempo.
It's just a tempo. What do we want?
Let's not get carried away.
Good luck, Victoria.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
See you later.
Pleasure for me.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what it's time for?
Time to rip out the air conditioner in the customer waiting room and set up an overpriced fruit smoothie stand?
Good idea, but no. It's time to play Chump the Stumps. I meant to say Stump the Chump.
No, I like
I like Chump the Stumps. It'll be a new feature. But it is time once again to throw caution to the winds and evaluate some of our past advice.
And to do that, we'll need a previous advisee. So who's this week's contestant?
Well, the little piece of scrap paper I have here says it's Roy from Mandeville, Louisiana. Roy called us, it says here, about a month ago because the brakes on his 77 Mercedes were feeling soft after long drives. And that's all I'd say.
Oh, yeah, and you were quite certain of your answer, if I remember correctly.
I was. Uh-oh.
I guess
you
replaced that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Either you've got a stuck caliper or you've got a faulty power booster.
Okay.
Because the brakes are on.
It's one of those two things, and I'm going to go out on a limb again, despite the lug nut theory, and say if it's not one of those two things, I'll eat my hat.
Oh, well, I'd like to see you do
that. So good luck, boy.
Yeah, right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, it's nice.
Are you hungry, Frank?
Not really. I mean, I just had a whole blueberry pie. How can I eat a hat now?
Well, here's the story. We concluded that Roy's brake fluid had to be boiling, and his mechanic had already ruled out a warp disc, so it had to be what?
A stuck caliper or a bad booster. It had to be. If it's not... I'm going to eat my hat, and I got a hat right here.
Roy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm so busy laughing.
Look,
before we debrief you, we have to confirm that you have not been paid off by our staff or any of my brother's ex-wives in order to make sure that he has to actually chew on that disgusting baseball hat that he wears.
All right.
Have you, Roy?
No, I've not received anything.
So okay, what happened, man?
The calipers were stuck. You were right. And I got good brakes now.
Excellent.
The mechanic replaced both of the calipers, the rear calipers, and all of the pads.
So this cost you like $8,000, right?
No, it wasn't that much.
77 Mercedes, I think they're down to $5,500 on a special.
No, it was hundreds. A lot less than that, and I'm very happy.
Now, I just wanted to point out that this idea of the stuck caliper or a bad booster was actually my idea
originally. And I was standing, it just shows you.
And you were just backing me up.
I was backing you up.
And you were so confident that you said you'd eat your hat.
And I just
and
wonder.
Roy, if I had been able to get to you sooner, I would have paid you anything.
Wait a minute. Since I was backing you up, if it had happened by some quirk that the answer was wrong,
would
you not have helped me eat the hat?
Of course I would have.
I was backing you up. He wouldn't have.
No, I would have.
Don't fight over the hat, guys. You got it right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your car is running well.
It is.
For once, we were right about something.
Oh, you were very right.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Roy.
And I do appreciate it.
All right.
Good.
See you later.
Roy.
Bye-bye.
By the way, if you want us to bring a particular caller back to play Chump the Stumps, you can email us at cartalk.com. This particular suggestion came from the staff because they were eager to see my brother eat wool. But we'll take your suggestions, too.
In the meantime, you can call us at 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Steve Schmutz from Friendswood, Texas.
Smoots.
I've got a 1987 Chevy Cavalier that's giving me some problems.
You said Smoots or Schmutz?
Smoots.
S-M-O-O-T-S?
That's the way it's pronounced. It's spelled S-C-H-M-U-T-Z. I don't know why they did that to me, but pronounced it S-M-O-O-T-S.
Oh, that means dirt in Yiddish.
It does.
Schmutz means but schmutz means like you got, you know, you have a smudge on your face. Schmutz. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No, never knew that.
See, well, you learn something every day, Steve.
And also, I mean, just to add,
it's remembering it that's the problem.
To add to the confusion, when you first pronounce it as smoots, a smoot is the measure by which the Harvard Bridge has been delineated.
That's right. They held him end to
Walter
end
Smoot,
and measured that bridge.
Exactly
they?
Right. It is marked off in, by, I guess they took some fraternity, fraternity brothers took him out there and laid him end over end across the
right,
bridge.
Right, it was a fraternity gag.
And he's 306, the bridge is 363 and a half smoots.
That's right. I've walked that
before. So you're a famous guy, Steve.
Well, it was there for years and years. It was laid out. I mean, we used to walk that bridge all the time. We were cutting classes. I mean, we were on our way to classes. and recently they rebuilt the bridge, and they had to get him back to lay it out again.
Yeah.
To put,
because it had become a Cambridge-Boston landmark.
A landmark, a legend and all that. Anyway, Steve, we are from where in Texas?
This is called Friendswood.
Friendswood. Not
halfway between Houston and Galveston.
Not near Friendly.
No.
But there is a Friendly, Texas, right in that area, too, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's a little community settled by the Quakers long, long ago.
Yes, it's a very nice town. I visited there once.
A friendly little town.
Anyway, Steve, what's up?
I've got this 87 Chevy Cavalier that as you start forward, and I guess as you go in reverse as well, it's as if there's no power steering at all in the car. And all of a sudden, the power steering kicks in after you're heavily turning the wheel when you're trying to make a direction change as you're starting. Then the power steering kicks in, and everything's okay. But every time you stop, this happens. I've got my fluid level is full. In the last 3 years that we've owned it, I've had to fill it once, but the fluid level stays up there. Don't quite understand.
And this will happen every time you stop and then restart the car?
As we start the car, either going forward or reverse, it's as if there is no power steering. And you really have to manhandle that steering wheel.
And then all of a sudden,
it kicks in.
You reach a certain threshold and, boom, you have power steering. The wheel swings violently to one side or the other, and you crash into some car that's parked on the side of the road.
Never crashed yet. Yeah. My kids have learned to drive it. We don't give it to strangers, but my daughter's driven it back and forth to Rice for the last 3 years, and no problem.
Have you been to the Chevy dealer?
Haven't really talked to a Chevy dealer yet.
Ah.
Well,
you suggest I go there?
Well, you may have a bad rack and pinion, although typically this is not the way the racks fail on General Motors cars. But General Motors cars for years have had something called morning sickness, where when you start the thing in the morning, it is very difficult to turn the wheel regardless of how fast the engine is going. You have to really fight until the fluid is circulated through the rack enough and everything is heated up and all the valves have expanded and the seals have expanded, and then it begins to work correctly.
Oh, this is 24 hours
a
day.
If this is 24 hours a day, I'm much more suspicious of your pump.
Oh.
The power steering pump. It's not a big deal to have your mechanic either test the pump, or if he doesn't have the means to test it, to put in another pump and see if it cures the problem, because this has the potential to be dangerous. Mm. I mean, you have a car like my brother's. You cannot lend this car to somebody without giving them a full page of typewritten, triple-spaced instructions.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well, on the other hand, it's better because you can't lend your car to anybody.
No one would steal it anyway.
No one would. Well, they might steal it not knowing.
Right.
But if you start to give them the instructions, no one will ever ask you to borrow
it,
your
walk.
Car.
Right, forget it, I'll walk.
People never
ask
me. I keep saying, here, take my car. They say, no, it's only 11 miles. I'll run it.
So, well, that sounds good.
I would get that checked out because it does have the potential to be dangerous, and it's probably the pump.
Okay.
Good luck, Steve.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, although you should be sending your kid to Geek Week here at Car Talk Plaza, you're instead listening to Car Talk
with us.
The
applications are pouring in. What are we going to use for criteria? Oh, you have to have a picture, right? Any kid with, like, a real neck, he's out.
Yeah, a picture of the parents, maybe, more in order.
Ah, picture of the parents.
Yeah, we'll let you know, because you can't tell what a kid's going to be like.
And you can't even tell from the parents. You got to have a picture of the parents when they graduated from high school. That's the telling picture.
We may need the whole family tree. We may need the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are known in the fraternal order of the Geeks Directory as Tom and Ray Magliazzi.
We'll have more of extraordinaire.
We'll have more of your calls coming up. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial, because if you do, your kid may send you to Geek Camp this summer. We'll be back in a minute.
I was counting the cars on Insomnia Avenue. And the neon so clear. Little wonder, were you really here? Caroline, Caroline, with the sadness of another time. Caroline, Caroline, why are you standing by the do not sign?
And even though the Brothers Grimm say, isn't that scaring little children whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride, but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple, you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with
us. Don't do that! You woke me up out of a deep sleep!
We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used Puzzler.
Oh, used. Now, new and used.
As both of our listeners know, every summer the Puzzler goes on vacation, and this is its chance to get refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated, reinvented, what?
And less lousy.
But we know that some of you just can't go a whole week without a Car Talk Puzzler, so for you we have what?
Psychopharmaceutical drug therapy.
No, for you, we have our classic Puzzler archive. Every week, yes, that the Puzzler's on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk Puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work, bored on vacation, just head to cartalk.com, and every week you'll find a brand new used.
brand new used
Puzzler. There, how's that?
Yippee!
Now, if you want to call us.
Yeah, what's the number?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gay from Richmond.
Gay, G-A-Y?
Right.
Hi, Gay.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
Not bad. What's up?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, I bought what I think is probably the best car I've ever owned.
Wonderful.
Oh, it's great, but my husband was so mortified he wouldn't let me put his name on the pink slip.
Oh, really? What is it?
It's a diesel Volkswagen Dasher.
Jeez.
Diesel Volkswagen Dasher. And that is the best car you've ever owned.
Yeah, it's the truth. Honestly.
Answer one question for me, Gay.
What?
During a normal drive, let's say you take a drive with this thing of 2 hours on the highway, if you could take the noise and the vibration and the fumes and all the other things. During that 2 hour drive, how many nuts and bolts fall from the dashboard onto your feet during that 2 hour drive?
A few.
Just a few.
Yep, that is true.
It averages a few.
But it's not a problem because I just carry a screwdriver with me.
And you just put them right back in.
That's right. Well, yeah.
I mean, if this is the best car you've ever owned, Gay, what could you possibly have? What kinds of AMC vehicles did you own prior to this?
Wait. It's all a matter of perspective. I want out of a car is to start every morning and to not break down.
Yeah, I will admit that in your climate, Richmond, Virginia.
No, California.
What do you mean California? California?
Yeah, across the bay from San Francisco.
Wait a minute, didn't I write Richmond, Virginia here?
She said Richmond, and you wrote Richmond, Virginia.
So did you. I'm looking at your paper
now. I wrote Richmond, California.
Right.
Well, even more so. I think whatever my brother was going to say is even more fully supported by the fact that you live in California than if you lived in Richmond,
sure,
Virginia.
Think of all the positives. if it's a warm climate, the car is going to start reliably every morning, although it has many, many thousands of miles on it, which I'm sure this thing does.
Oh, yeah, it's got a couple.
Right. That's one positive. Another positive is you may be in an earthquake zone, so if the car were to be consumed by the planet Earth, it
wouldn't
be a big deal. You wouldn't even put a claim in.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's true. That is true.
Very nice.
But I was talking just the other day to someone about diesels and how I had almost been converted. I had to slap myself around a little bit. But there is a certain thing about diesels that appeals to one's sense of self-sufficiency. You know, the frontiersman.
There is
frontierswoman in us.
Yeah, that's true.
They're
cheap. That's what appealed to you?
Yeah.
Well, they're cheap, and you have the feeling that they will last forever, which in many cases, in some cases, unless it's an Oldsmobile, they will.
You know, so...
Did you have a question, Gay?
I have a problem.
Oh, you do?
I thought you just wanted to rap.
No,
I thought you just called to rap. I mean,
well, from California, that's...
Okay, so we'll entertain your question.
The car is great, but it has some electrical problems, like the temperature light flashes on and off when you drive down the street, and if you have the lights on, the glow plug light blinks on and off, and if you hit a puddle, the oil light and the battery light come on, but they go right off after it dries off. So I don't consider these things a problem, right?
No.
There's a gauge, so you don't have to depend upon the temperature light. Avoid puddles. It's not been too much of a problem because we've had a drought, but last year was a drag.
Yeah.
But there is one problem that really is a nuisance, and that is my fan keeps breaking. And I have it fixed, and it's breaking. But I've managed to work around that, too, and that is I just drive the car with the heater on.
This is the cooling fan, the one that's behind the radiator?
Yeah, it doesn't work. But if you drive with the heater on full blast, it doesn't overheat.
You are certainly a woman
who manages
to live with any level of diversity.
Now, this isn't a problem in the winter, mind you.
Adversity is what I meant to say.
Yeah,
and we live in a temperate climate, so it's not a problem in the summer, except last week it was 99 degrees out. Mm. I had my 100-pound dog breathing down my neck.
And your shoes melted.
And the heater was on.
And the heater was on full blast.
Yeah. And even your patience was being tried to some extent.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, that's tough.
Well, you need to fix the fan. I mean, because even driving with the heat on is not a reliable way to cool the engine off.
Oh, really?
So you need to fix it. I mean, when you say it's broken repeatedly, each time the fan is burned out? No, it's been something different every time.
Yeah.
It seems to me, Gay, that you are the problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, come on. This is the sweetest little lady you'll ever meet.
She is, but cheap.
Not cheap.
But cheap.
No,
she is.
I'm not cheap. I'm practical.
That's just a euphemism.
My husband says that I'm ruining my car by doing that.
Couldn't ruin this car. No, what you are doing, I think, I suspect, and you can answer this truthfully. You don't have to answer it on the air, but a little introspection might give you the right answer. You are stipulating to them in advance that you're not going to pay a lot to fix this car.
No, I don't mind paying to fix it, but I just don't
a lot.
And over the same thing, and it doesn't fix it.
Well, no, but if you ever gone in and said, fix
do
this,
whatever it takes.
Right, exactly.
Money is no object.
No, I've never done that.
No, anymore. I know, I could tell.
You're not that kind of person,
yeah.
I know that.
But if you were to do that, they might actually find the problem. On the other hand, if you go in and say, look, I expect you to fix this for 30 or 40 bucks, right away you put a constraint, you know, you set the whole mood, the whole tone of the repair. You can see those mechanics
walking around
with
warm
faces, and they Mickey Mouse something, and 3 weeks later it breaks, and you go back and you spend another 60 bucks. So of all the things that are wrong with it, the fan is certainly the one that has to be fixed.
Yeah, but I was afraid like they're all tied in together because it's the electrical.
Well, they may be. You may have bad connections. I can't imagine how anything would get shaken apart in this car. I mean, it runs so smoothly.
Great car.
Well, I was going to mention that I think it is possible that all of these problems you mentioned are related to each other, especially the fact that you mentioned when you drive through puddles, funny things happen. I mean, you probably have a fuse box that's falling apart, and it may well be that many of your problems are related to a rusted or broken or banged up fuse box.
Well, hell's bells, that sounds easy to fix.
Well, if they find it.
The fuse box can be replaced. I mean, it's not that expensive. It's more than $60, but
ask them to take a look at it.
Okay.
And I would suspect the fuse box, number one, and a bad ground somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But more likely the fuse box.
All right.
Just go in and tell them.
Does water come through the floor?
You know what? Yeah. Water, every time it rains, like the floor is flooded.
Exactly.
It's the fuse box, Gabe.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, great.
That's going to fix everything. Even the radio will start working again.
Oh, the radio works fine. Everything works fine.
That's what you think. You've been out there today?
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Thanks a bunch.
See you later. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ivan from Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Hi, Ivan. Manitou Springs, huh?
Manitou Springs, yep.
What part of the state is this in?
It's by Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay.
All the springs are there. There's Manitou Springs,
Bed
Colorado Springs,
right.
Springsfield. So, Ivan, what's up, kid?
I have an epic tire saga for you.
Excellent.
All started about 18 months ago when I bought a 1988 Isuzu Trooper.
Mm-hmm.
When I bought it, it had four, you know, totally bald, sketchy tires on it, all sort of different makes and whatever. So I thought, I've got to get new tires.
Yeah.
9 months later, I did.
So you drove around on the baldies for 9 months.
Absolutely.
Good.
Including one time when I was rescued from a snowbank by a team of Mennonites with a Dodge Ram. So I bought these four Pirelli Scorpion tires, these sort of big, mm-hmm. knobby, manly, all-terrain kind of tires.
Right.
And a week after I bought these four tires, one of them was flat.
Really?
I took it down to the tire shop, and they told me that there were these circular abrasions on the inside of the tire that had like sort of torn out the sidewall. And they told me that I'd hit something. And I don't remember hitting anything, but I said, okay, bought a new tire. This was a tire on the left side of the back, driver's side back.
Yeah.
But a week later, the right side in the back was flat. So I put the spare on it. I'm driving down to the tire place. My spare goes flat.
Mm.
I bring in the tire to them. They tell me the same story. They say that there's these mysterious abrasions on the inside. And they suggest that maybe I'd hit some kind of like corrugated siding or something like that.
And they say that you hit something with the inner face of the tire and you bought that?
Yeah. I bought it with some,
you
know.
Like what?
Well, I mean, if you were driving over unimproved roads, you could be hitting boulders and such. You close to Boulder, Colorado?
No.
All right.
No, this is pretty much my commute to school and back. I'm not doing much off-roading these days.
Yeah, so this is the same problem as the other tire.
Right.
And the spare, which is not a Pirelli Scorpion.
Exactly. The spare was the best of the, you know, god-awful bald tires, the original four. So I didn't worry too much about that one.
But they didn't see any similar markings on the non-Pirelli tire.
To be honest, I don't remember that part. I was kind of indignant.
But that could have blown for a different reason.
It could have.
Yeah, I mean,
will you accept that?
Well, I would, except that 2 weeks later, the third tire went down. Also in the back. Also one of these tires that was a replacement for one of the tires that had gone down before.
Yeah.
So it was only about a week and a half, 2 weeks old. But here are the clues that I have as to this. And the tire people think I'm crazy. They think I just...
Well, we're siding with them, too.
We're slowly adopting that same philosophy ourselves, but...
It's, in any case, it's always been in the back. And all the tires, except this spare, because I never got that one checked out, have these circular...
abrasions.
It looks like somebody took a, you know, like a drill with a buffer on it and kind of went around the tire.
Are they circular or are they, is the circle not complete?
The circle is not complete.
Ha!
Ooh.
What a question.
Yeah.
Great question, huh?
Great question.
If only.
If only you had a reason for asking it.
There's one other thing I should probably mention, which I didn't want to, and that's that these tires are slightly
wider,
slightly larger,
larger than the ones that really belong on the truck.
Right. Not hugely larger, but
it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow these tires, the inner wall of these tires is coming in contact with something. I don't know what that is. Either the inner fender, the springs. It's maybe a dynamic situation where it happens when you corner, when the thing is loaded with cargo or people.
Or you hit a bump.
Or some such thing is causing something. If you look, you will see something, if you take the tire off, that the tire is hitting. And it's the tire's improper size that is causing the problem.
I'm surprised that the tire guys
didn't notice this.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they sold you these tires because they didn't have the right size. And they said,
oh, yeah.
Because they do this all the time. You go in and say, look, I want the 14 P235s. Oh, we don't have those. Yeah. We got P289.5. But they'll fit. And it turns out that they often do, but sometimes they don't. And if there's not much clearance allowed in the original design, then it's possible for the tire to come in contact with part of the suspension or part of the body, and that scores away some of the rubber and eventually causes the tire to fail.
Okay. And unfortunately, they're going to have to give you 4 new tires.
Well, the ones in the back and the front may be all right if you don't ever rotate them, but I think you really want the 4 properly sized tires.
I would like them to be all the same.
Would you?
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, I did have a long conversation with the tire guys, and they assured me, oh, no problem. We put these on. You know, it's not going to be an issue.
Well, interestingly, the only thing that bothers me, and I hesitated to bring this up.
Yeah.
I hesitated.
And I have a question for you, too, but go ahead. We're not through with you, Ivan.
I didn't think so.
Is the unusual behavior of the spare.
Well, let me describe the spare to you. The spare was on its last legs. I mean, I really should have probably bought 5 tires, but I...
And the spare did not have the circular...
Well, he doesn't know.
I don't know.
I really don't know.
I'm hoping not.
I was so covered in oil and hefting my tire iron, and I just sort of stomped in there and said, fix it. So I'm not sure.
Well, you must have been teed off by that point, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, and there are 2 other things, questionable things. One is, it's unusual for a tire which rubs against something to go flat.
Huh.
I mean, when they fixed the flat, what did they do?
They said they were able to patch it from the inside.
They patched the sidewall?
They patched the sidewall? You can't do that.
I don't know.
I don't know either. So I'm confused about that.
Okay.
And the second thing I'm confused about is why my brother asked the question about whether the circle was complete.
It sounded so good.
I thought you had something there.
No, because I do have something, but
it's too esoteric to even discuss. Mm-hmm, sure. Ivan, thanks for calling. Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his grand slam at the Greater Greensboro Garlic Gherkin and Goat Cheese Gavotte, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. The receptionist at our Bombay office is Vishnu Hadnakum. Our staff disciplinarian is, oh no. Our mortgage loan consultant is Nora Lenderby, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our director of customer rebates is Noah. Oh, no. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iacocca. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the teenage werewolves skulking behind their parents in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though 98-pound weaklings kick sand at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.